And I'm asking, do we have a quorum?
Yes.
We have a quorum. Thank you very much. We have a consent calendar, and let me say before we get to the consent calendar that under item 2C, committee members will find a yellowish sort of page here. There was a typographic error in the package. That has been corrected, and on the back of the yellow page under request for committee approval, under motion by committee, San Mateo County Transportation Authority has been substituted for the erroneous City and County Association. I think that was the language. So that's the reason for this. Am I saying that correctly?
That is correct.
Okay. So that being said, I would ask for a motion to adopt. We have a motion, and do we have a second? We have a second. Haggerty and Sperring, all those in favor of adopting the consent calendar, say aye. Aye. That is hereby adopted. We come to agenda item number 3, that is condition of highway operations equipment. If anybody bears responsibility for putting this item on the agenda, it is your committee chair. We had some discussions in our minutes that we just adopted. Commissioner Green had asked some questions about getting a report, and we had said that we would get back to the committee with a report in this area. I had also read in the clips an article which talked about the state of some of the mechanisms by which data are collected. And if people's noses are a wee bit out of joint, I apologize. I believe this is an important matter. We all of us rely, as we go by the Bay Area, on the data that is presented to us by the 511 signs, the CMS signs. And so with that in mind, staff is going to present us with an update on the condition of highway traffic sensors, changeable message signs, and cameras, and they also are proposing next steps. This is an information item. Please.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Radia Victor with the Operations Section. In early August, MIDIO reported several operational issues with the traffic monitoring sensors and the highway traffic cameras. And as a part of that reported story, the media further inferred that the travel times displayed on the changeable message signs were inaccurate. While the media's report included some incorrect information about the highway's operational systems, overall the coverage did highlight actual deficiencies with the condition of the highway operations equipment. The purpose of today's presentation is to provide the Commission with an overview of the current conditions of the highway operations equipment, and more importantly, to provide recommended next steps for addressing the identified infrastructure problems. As illustrated in this slide, the Bay Area has an extensive inventory of highway infrastructure that's designed to enable the management and operations of our highways. Specifically, the region has 128 changeable message signs, over 300 traffic cameras, approximately 2,300 vehicle detection and traffic monitoring stations that are comprised of 7,500 sensors, and we have 347 ramp metering systems. So, like a doctor uses an EKG machine to monitor a heartbeat, these operational systems are essential for better monitoring and management of the region's highway system. So, what are some of the benefits of the highway infrastructure? Specifically, ramp metering systems and sensors help to maximize the effectiveness of the transportation system. Cameras and sensors enable the real-time monitoring that can reduce impacts caused by construction and other maintenance activities. Cameras enhance our ability to detect, respond, clear, and manage traffic incidents. And changeable message signs provide motorist information that enables informed travel decisions, such as taking alternate routes, delaying a trip, or taking transit. In review of the existing conditions of the highway infrastructure, as shown in the table, the summary table on this slide, less than 50% of the highway sensors are operational. 90% of the changeable message signs are operational. And while the operational status of the ramp metering system is shown as unknown, due to recent investments, we have a good level of confidence that these systems are functioning properly. And we also have the 501 infrastructure that I'll speak to in further detail in subsequent slides that provides the travel information information that's visible on the signs. The next several slides are intended to provide a better understanding of some of the operational and maintenance issues associated with each of these specific systems. In review of Caltrans' system called PIMS, which is a performance measurement system, over the past years, you can see roughly 50% of the sensors were reported as operational. Caltrans reports that there are several contributing factors that can lead to the malfunction of a sensor that can range from technical problems with field equipment, as shown in the pie chart on the right, a lack of maintenance staff and funding resources, down to just ongoing highway construction, vandalism, and copper wire theft. And as a result of these issues associated with the sensors, we have been unable to produce the state of the system report, which identifies freeway performance trends, such as the ranking of the most congested corridors. So in terms of the travel times on CMS, there are 128 CMS signs. However, only 33 are currently displaying travel times. It is anticipated that due to recent implemented TMC software enhancements that we'll be able to expand to more signs in the near future. So as previously mentioned, the media suggested that the travel times that were displayed, travel times displayed on the CMS signs are incorrect due to reported sensor issues. However, I do want to point out that MTC has built a parallel data collection system that provides the raw data that's used to calculate the travel times. As shown in the part in the pie chart on the right, 56% of the data comes from the 511 sensors and from the purchase radar data. I want to emphasize that only 9% of this data is used by 511 is provided by Caltrans. And in places where real-time data is unavailable, 511 estimates the traffic speed and the travel times by using neighboring roadway sensors and historical data. And to ensure the accuracy of the data, 511 regularly monitors the display of the travel times and compares the travel times directly to the 511 system through probe vehicle runs. And lastly, I wanted to point out that due to advances in technology, 511 will begin using GPS probe-based data, which will reduce the overall cost of providing this data and we'll get greater coverage of the system. In highlight of the CCTV cameras, MTC has invested approximately $8 million to upgrade the cameras, the hardware of the cameras. However, at a given time, less than 60% of these cameras can be operational. And then this is primarily due to deficiencies associated with the communication infrastructure. As shown in the table, 93% of the cameras operate over ISDN. And so just to give you a sense of the reliability of that system, it's equivalent to your old AOL dial-up internet service. So in contrast, fiber, while the upfront cost is more expensive, it's the most reliable forms of communication infrastructure. So in comparison to other forms of communication infrastructure like DSL or T1 lines, with fiber you don't incur a monthly service fee. So in terms of the ramp metering system, I'm not going to say much other than we know from results that this has been one of our most high-performing operational systems, and we have demonstrated that savings in 5 to 15 minutes and reduced travel times and peak period savings. One thing I wanted to emphasize, however, is that as ramp metering continues to be implemented throughout the region, we really need to be aware of the need to support this increased operation and maintenance of the overall increased infrastructure. To summarize, While MTC is not the owner or operator of the highway system, over the past 10 years, MTC has made significant operational investments in the highway infrastructure. And as we advance to new initiatives, such as implementation of the express lane networks, we need to be mindful that the efficient operation and management of the freeway system will continue and need to be a high priority into the future. So in summary, in terms of next steps over the next several months, MTC plans to work in close partnership with Caltrans and CHP to develop a plan that will prioritize the operational and capital strategies to support the sustainability of our existing future infrastructure, recognizing that it's unlikely that existing state resources can fully address the need. Staff proposes to explore alternative arrangements to enhance the management of the system. This may include working very closely with District 4 headquarters staff as well as the Governor's Transportation Agency to pursue defining an alternative institutional arrangement to correct and address the serious issue. Or alternatively, we may want to consider redirecting future regional investments until we do have a sustainable maintenance structure in place. So with that said, I would like to turn it over to the committee and see if there's any comments or questions that you may have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you for that succinct report. I would like to ask if any committee members have anything they would like. Commissioner Green, please address us.
Thank you. First of all, I'm happy to hear that the changeable message signs are going to be increased shortly, because I find it always aggravating to read the click it or ticket and, you know, on and on and on, the little limericks that doesn't help me as far as getting from point A to point B. So I'm glad to see that there'll be less of that and more of actual times. Two things within the last 2 weeks, though, that have perplexed me have been the following. One, when the Dumbarton Bridge was shut down, driving north on 880, past Industrial, which I might add is like three exits to the north of where even the Dumbarton Bridge is. I'm reminded that the Dumbarton Bridge is closed and that thing stayed on there for days without any times being pressed on this. So it's like when you've already passed where that possibility is, I think we need to get onto some other information rather than what I'm going to do, make a U-turn here on 880 suddenly? I don't think so. So I think that again, that was sort of like needless information when you're past that point of decision. And two, something not quite exactly like that, but again, it was, to me, counterproductive to what you're trying to do out there, or not you, but the system itself, was that Wednesday morning as I was coming out of Danville on the way to Oakland, I made the terrible decision of taking 680 rather than going through Crow Canyon, and found out there was a huge backup. I'm running, okay, where in the blank is this blanking accident that's taking place? Only to find out that there wasn't any accident at all, because what was happening was that on the CMS sign around Stone Valley, and I think it is going northbound, is that there was indications that there was a problem in Rio Vista that particular day. So that people were, and it says take alternate routes, you know, it's the last line at the bottom, so everybody's really thinking, oh God, the tunnel on 24 is shut down, so we got to make some massive maneuver. But no, it's just Highway 12 into Rio Vista, take an alternate route. So I'm thinking, okay, wonderful. So all of us taking the screen, all four lanes are slowed down to a creep while they're reading this sign, thinking my life is going to change, so I can't get to Oakland. And I found it's just Rio Vista. But as soon as you get past that sign, it's like the green flag at the Indianapolis 500, a rolling start, and we're back at full speed again. But to me, it was just an example of where the message itself was creating a bigger problem of congestion, like people reading it, especially seeing that last line, alternate route needed, and it's just going to Rio Vista. No offense, Jim, about Rio Vista's importance on the planet, but that seemed to be something about, you know, how far downstream do you need to tell somebody about a problem in Rio Vista? Yeah, so those are just two comments I had on that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Green, for the anecdotal evidence of the importance of accuracy in our signage. Right to my right, Commissioner Haggerty, and then Commissioner Spirik.
Thank you.
I'll make sure that anybody else as well.
I guess to Steve, I mean, where's the outrage on this? I really mean that sincerely. This is probably one of the worst reports I've ever seen as an MTC commissioner in relationship to transportation infrastructure. And in a way, we're kind of guilty. I mean, we can throw our hands up and say, you know, this is Caltrans, but we've put almost probably well more than $200 million into this project.
Commissioner, I agree. And rather than beat about the bush about it, we thought it was important to bring it directly to you. I met with Bijan about it last week. I don't think either of us are happy with the state of affairs. I think he may be less happy than I am, and I think he may be somewhat unhappy that we're presenting this to you. But look, the way you solve problems is to understand and acknowledge them. What I would characterize, let me try to draw an analogy for you and see if it works. We have been a fairly passive investor in this system, with the exception of the toll tag readers that are out there, that we were sort of opportunistic and decided that since we had 1 million toll accounts, that could clearly be a source of travel information as well. So we put toll readers. They don't collect tolls, but they gauge speed on the highway system, and that has turned out to be a very important supplemental source of information. But other than that, we've generally been a passive investor because we think this stuff's important. We're not building much freeway capacity in the Bay Area, so we need to squeeze more efficiency out of the system we've built. I think what this report highlights to me is the limits of that approach. And the analogy would be in the toll program, where for many years we were seeing bridge projects that weren't being delivered or where costs were increasing, where there was not a lot of transparency. And ultimately, we became what I would call more of an active investor with the Toll Bridge Program Oversight Committee process, where we are working at the table with the department, with the California Transportation Commission. That means we have accountability now, as you should when you sit at the table. But we were no longer at the outside looking in. And I think that's why on the slide that's in front of you, one of the ideas that we would like to explore seriously with the department and with the administration is whether some kind of structure like that might make more sense. I don't think we're talking about us owning the highway system instead of Caltrans, that they're the proper owner, and that makes all the sense in the world. But I will tell you that within the department, I believe, and this is not a District 4 issue, I think it's a department issue statewide, I don't think these activities get adequate priority. I think it's still largely an engineering organization that rewards and emphasizes capital construction. And God knows those projects are important. But looking forward, I think a capital focus is less warranted and an operational focus is more warranted, especially in our region. I think the primary concern I have in our region is if you compare us to San Diego or L.A. or Sacramento, they are building significant capacity into their systems. We are not. We're spending, as you know, 4%, I think, of all of our future funds on highway expansion. We're basically in O&M mode and transit mode in the Bay Area, and that just places an incredible premium on making sure that we get the maximum bang out of these bucks. Now, having said all that, the bucks are fairly small. I mean, $200 million, as you say, Commissioner, that buys you a couple miles of freeway in a lot of places. So the potential that these strategies hold is so promising that I think it makes it all the more concerning that we're not realizing that potential because we don't have adequate emphasis and resource being put on maintaining this infrastructure. So we do take it seriously, and I would agree with your assessment that it's not one of the better reports we've given you. But we don't intend just to give it to you to try to hang some crepe on a Friday morning. We need to address this problem, and we welcome your suggestions and your direction as we try to move forward on some of these ideas and then want to bring them back to you in the near future.
Well, I guess what I hope comes out of this is some sort of a task force, or the chair appoints a committee to this, or something, or, you know, it stays with, of course, it would stay within this committee, but I don't think just having this report and validating what was said in the news, which, unfortunately, I didn't really believe the news, but I guess now I should have, because they were accurate.
I think they got some things wrong, and the media often does, but I think, as Radia said, the general thrust of it was correct. And that general thrust is something we've got to deal with.
Okay. Thank you for that response, Mr. Executive Director, and thank you for asking the question so directly. Commissioner Haggerty, Commissioner Sperring, please.
Yeah. Steve, I have the same impression on the report that Scott Haggerty had. And, you know, we put such an emphasis on managing the system, and this really is a black eye in how the system's being managed. And I would hope that when you talk about where the focus should be, I think it should be an institutional focus. I really would like to have an honest discussion as to how and who manages this. You know, and right now, as I look at this report, I don't think Caltrans are the right people. It's very similar to the problems that MTC faced that created BATA. You look at the call box, Freeway Patrol. You look at Clipper. I mean, MTC took those issues on and really changed the institutional approach to how we dealt with those issues and really solved some big problems. I think that has to happen here. And, you know, when I look at the millions of dollars that Caltrans invests into the ramp metering, and then they can't even turn them on because the local jurisdictions don't want it, and you have the traffic just completely jammed up and backed up on the freeway, those are institutional problems that need to be addressed, and that's part of this problem. And so I would hope that MTC aggressively looks at how either this organization or the institutional changes to how this is managed. And I think there has to be some real emphasis put on this particular segment of how we're managing this system. And it really is kind of embarrassing as you look at the big partner that we have that's controlling most of this is the weak link in this whole thing. And so I would like to have, like Scott's recommending, a group of commissioners and staff to really start focusing on the institutional changes to how we manage the system.
Thank you. And I'm going to ask Commissioner Liccardo and then Commissioner Campos in that order, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I agree with the comments of both the folks who have spoken before me. I have a question about the information flows, though. The media reported a 57% failure rate on the cameras. Was that something that had been, how did they get that number? And I assume that was from Caltrans originally? Or?
It's actually unknown how they got that number, and it's our understanding that number may not be entirely accurate. But recognizing that I'm not the expert in that, Dan McElhaney, who is the executive deputy director of Caltrans, he may be able to speak to that in better detail.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dan Macklin. I'm Chief Deputy District Director for you here in Caltrans in the Bay Area. Specific to the cameras, what's shown in the on slide 4, which shows 353 cameras overall, we do have about 60% operating. And when you look at slide 6, which focuses on CCTV cameras, a big part of that is the Integrated Service Digital Network, as Radia mentioned. And as we focus on the operation, I think Steve as Executive Director, made a great point about the operational focus moving ahead in our partnership. We've had a great TOS partnership since the 90s. We need to focus on that communication infrastructure, which is outdated, because that's been tough on our maintainability in order to keep those cameras up and running. We're already moving on change orders on existing construction contracts. We're working with a couple of vendors that we have to assess and evaluate. So we're going to see that percentage climb very quickly over the next few months. But I wanted to highlight the communication infrastructure, where fiber is shown as excellent. That's the future we need to shoot for as far as a performance goal.
Thank you for all that information.
Thank you, Dan.
Let me refocus on the question, which was, how did the media get the information? Was it from a public information officer at Caltrans, or?
Well, the we were interviewed. Others were interviewed, including some industry. We did provide similar data. Some of that's been updated since the interview for this PowerPoint. For instance, the news reported two corridors that had no loop detector readings, and we emphasize that those corridors do, and they do today have loop detector readings for traffic speed. So some of the story we followed up with the reporter and to make sure the corrections were known.
Okay, but with regard to, say, the cameras, for instance, that information came from Caltrans or from a contractor or from whom?
We did provide this information. We're not sure why the story doesn't reflect it.
Right. Okay. So you gave them numbers, the numbers weren't properly reflected.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. The other question I had was, it seems as though we have an awful lot of infrastructure in the freeway sensors. I assume that's the loops. Those are the loops underneath the pavement.
Yes.
And talking to an industry rep a couple weeks ago, it seemed as though the industry is moving away from the loop detection because it's expensive, very cumbersome construction, and moving toward, I guess, I don't know if it's radar or sonar, some kind of laser technology that I'm sure I don't understand, and someone's going to tell me what it is. Is that right? That we're moving
Let Melanie finish, and I'll just start with the history piece. I've been working here for 20 years now. These loops have never been much good. They are very difficult to deal with. You know, they're constantly dug up in construction projects. They're buried. So, I mean, when anything's buried, it's tough to deal with. And that's why we made the decision with both 511 and with the toll sensor information that we needed to supplement that system. So I think one of the real questions here is, do we spend a ton of money trying to get this 49% operational thing up to an acceptable level, or do we head further down the path of the supplemental approach?
Right, and that's what I'm...
And
exactly,
I think Melanie's better qualified to tell you what the state of play looks like there.
Melanie Crody, Director of Operations Section. The technology continues to evolve, but it is interesting that there has continued to be this drive towards having detectors embedded in the pavement. And as Radia mentioned, a couple of important purposes: use it for performance monitoring of the roadways, use it for the congestion reports where you have the top 10, do it for corridor planning studies. So there's some real value in having that level of detail available, you know, the richness of it. I think that as part of our next steps, we truthfully really need to dig into that question to see, given how challenging, you know, 20 years, it's never worked at the level that we felt that's necessary. So in a sense, we've done without it for a long time. Is it important enough to fix those at that level, or can we be moving to these newer technologies? Radia mentioned that for 511, we're in the process right now of transitioning from this toll tag-based data collection system for 511 to a purchase data concept. And that's, we're purchasing it from a private sector company. They have national footprints, so we're buying it for the Bay Area, and we'll get comprehensive coverage for all the freeways, many of the highways, and many of the arterials. So it's going to kind of radically change what 511 can provide. Now, that's at a density. It's kind of at a link level rather than at a point level. And so the question is, can that kind of data work for other transportation management purposes? Maybe not today, but I suspect in 1 year or 5 years that we're getting to that point that we can move, that new technologies can replace what the pavement detection systems have, the potential has been there. So we're looking into that. I don't think we're there today. We suspect it will be. So the question is, how soon? And should we just kind of assume that that's the answer?
Okay. Well, thank you. And I look forward to hearing more about that, because my bias is certainly to really abandon the old technology and move on, if given what we know about both the performance and the extraordinary upfront expense and trouble of getting these sensors in place.
Thank you for that exchange, Dan. Thank you for being here this morning
as well. Let me turn to Commissioner Campos, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not a member of the committee, so I appreciate the opportunity to comment on this. I do want to thank the chair for putting this item on the agenda. I think it's a very informative presentation, one of the most interesting reports that I've seen. And I also want to thank staff for the very frank presentation. I do want to associate myself with the comments of Commissioner Haggerty. I have to say that I do wonder, you know, where is the outrage? When you look at the fact that we've invested $200 million, and I don't know what the exact amount is, but I think that for all of us in our respective jurisdictions, you know, there's a lot of money that all of us could do with even a fraction of that money. And so to the extent that Caltrain is not doing what it's supposed to on its side, I don't think that we should be complicit in their failure to live up to their obligations. So the question that I have is frankly, when we make these kinds of investments, what kind of expectations do we have in terms of, you know, is there a requirement that they actually have a maintenance plan? Is there a requirement that they have, you know, a strategic operational plan that ensures that the investment is taken care of over time? What kinds of obligations do we ask of Caltrans when we make that kind of investment? I know that $200 million is not a lot of money relative to, you know, to the larger system, but it is a lot of money for us. And so what are the kinds of requirements that we place on this agency when we, as the MTC, make that kind of investment?
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Heminger, any comments?
I think the short answer, and I don't mean to be flip, is we clearly don't do it well enough. And I would broaden the answer, if you'll permit me, because that it isn't just Caltrans. We are generally speaking a capital grant-making agency, and I think this is a place where we need to do a better job across the board. You know, there have been efforts at the federal level, for example, with New Starts, to ensure that when you invest in a new system, the transit operator has the resources to operate and maintain it. But those events, those efforts have been somewhat halting, I would say. On the highway side, I think there has been even less focus on that. We continue to build capacity without adequate resources to maintain it. We've got an enormous rehabilitation backlog for the state highway system. Now, you know, in the real world, you can't just stop the construction program and say we're going to resume it once we get the backlog beat. But the state rehabilitation program, Commissioner, is something called the SHOP, and the O in SHOP is operations. And I will tell you that O gets very little money out of that program. Look, there are some good reasons for that, because some of the other SHOP projects are safety-related. There are cases of really horrible deterioration of pavement. But we've got to put the O back in the SHOP. And I think we as an agency need to be more systematic about looking at things on a life cycle basis. And when we make a capital investment, let's make sure that investment's going to be followed up with good maintenance so that we get the value of that investment and don't see it degrade in the near term.
Thank you for that answer. Dan?
Chair McKenzie, if I could add real quickly, what have we done since the August news report? We've intensified our inventory update and evaluated the system, and that's ongoing. We have over 500 work orders for our maintenance and our TOS subcontractor. We're certainly working with the MTC staff. We're also working with Census Incorporated. They've gone out and evaluated their portion of the system. We have ongoing construction contract change orders that we're implementing, particularly for the CCTVs. We have an emergency contract director's order for $1.3 million to restore communication and power at various locations where we were having trouble with that due to construction and wire theft. On slide 4, regarding ramp metering systems, where it says unknown operational, actually 95% of the ramp metering systems are operational. We should edit that in the slide. 16 that are not operational are due to copper wire thefts, 4 in just the last month. So that's not a major issue on the system, but I wanted to bring to your attention ramp metering systems are at 95%. And then overall, we're looking at our procedures statewide as well as in the district and certainly with MTC staff on inventory, better performance monitoring, and keeping this a high reporting priority for the commission. So I appreciate the time to update you.
No, and I, as I said previously, I thank you for being here to report to us. This is clearly has a lot of interest in this committee, but I also, my vice chair, Commissioner Mullen, would like to say something.
Oh, you do? Okay. As long as it's not anecdotal, then I'll go. And then Madam Chair, of course. But Vice Chair Mullen?
I just want to thank the chair for shedding a light on the issue. This is a useful discussion, alarming as it may be. My question is, you know, we heard a presentation earlier today on commute models and transportation models, land use models, and so forth. And it strikes me that there's probably a lot of data that's being generated from these systems that may or may not be feeding these models that we're developing. Should we be concerned about that there are gaps that are feeding that model that we heard this morning? Are these really two separate conversations, or are they integrated, and do we have any concerns about that?
They're not separate, Commissioner, and I think to the extent you're concerned about this equipment and not providing good data today, the purpose of having good data is you use it for a lot of different reasons. Now, I think you should be somewhat assured that we have a lot of sources of information for the inputs to the travel demand model. But the fact that, for example, one of the things that the media just eats up is this state of the system report, you know, the top 10. And that information has guided investment decisions year after year. I mean, it catalyzes political activity. And if you remember the Sunol grade, the stretch of 680 that fed Silicon Valley right before the last bust, that thing rocketed up to the top of that chart, and I think that was in part responsible for coalescing a political consensus to raise the money to fix the problem. The same thing happened in Commissioner Haggerty's neighborhood with 580. You know, we had been used to focusing on the Bay Bridge as the big corridor, and then all of a sudden those two roads out there, east and west, were number two and number three. And the fact that we don't publish that report now, I mean, we're missing such an obvious opportunity to give the media something they want to have and to use that information in turn to generate political activity and to fix problems is just a cry and shame. So I do think on the travel demand model, the fortunate thing is we've got a large base of information. But this is certainly a missed opportunity that we don't have this and could be using it.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, before Commissioner Green.
That's so kind, Mr. Green. You know, now that we have all this information, and since the August article, you outlined a lot of different things that have been done. Some of these numbers aren't absolutely correct today. I'd like to ask if we could, besides what Mr. Haggerty said about trying to have some commissioners and others continue to work on this, if we could get a quarterly report to see the progress that's made on a quarterly basis, because if we don't see it, if we see it every couple of years, you know, it could be nice today and bad tomorrow or good tomorrow, and it might just be helpful. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a report every quarter, but get the information, have the stats of where we are and what's improved, what hasn't improved, because that way, if there is a committee, we can continue to focus on where the weak points are. So that would be something I'd certainly like to see on a quarterly basis, if we could.
We'd be happy to do that.
Madam Chair, since you brought the topic up, and as did Commissioner Haggerty, I would hope that you would agree that the Operations Committee would be the appropriate place for an interaction between us as commissioners and staff as they follow through on next steps. When Vice Chair Mullen and I were briefed before our meeting this morning by staff, they were talking to us about discussions that have already been ongoing, that are reported on in the staff report, that very strongly suggest that there's going to be a mechanism put in place to look at these coordinative problems. And so I would hope that you would agree that Operations Committee and our representatives would be a good point of contact. And your suggestion of quarterly data reporting coming back, I would add that in terms of any committee activities that are set up or staff coordinative committees that are set up, that we would get a regular briefing at the operations committee meetings. They don't have to be lengthy, but I think to continue our focus on this problem. Would that be agreeable?
If I'm understanding you correctly, are you looking that if we're going to utilize a couple of commissioners, that be the entire operations committee to deal with this? I mean,
through the chair, and I don't know if this has happened in the past or not, but it would seem to me that a subset of the operations committee.
Right.
An ad hoc committee. I hadn't thought it out fully, and I think possibly you had suggested this, Commissioner Haggerty. We can work that out. And Commissioner Green, and then Commissioner Holt.
You know, as fascinating as all the technological sonar, radar, lunar, et cetera, and all the maintenance contracts that you referred to, again, even when the system is working, my greatest frustration, again, are what I would call the worthless messages, because again, at some point somebody makes a decision as to what goes up on the board itself. That needs to be improved. I need to be getting pertinent information, not stuff that's, you know, eight time zones away, or things I've actually passed that are behind me. At some point we need to get things that are worthwhile to read. So that, do you have any input on that? Who's actually making these calls to put limericks up there, or Rio Vista when I'm in Alamo, the Dumbarton Bridge has closed me, you know, be three exits behind me? Those are worthless, to be completely candid.
If you can assuage Commissioner Green's concerns, the chair would appreciate it.
Yes, Chair McKenzie and Commissioner Green, those are very good questions. You mentioned the 880 Dumbarton outreach and the closure for that the previous weekend. We'll have closures on San Mateo Hayward for repairs in October. And we do a CMS traffic management plan for CMSs in the Bay Area for those closures to get the word out. And I think everybody has good experience over the last 10 years on how that does get the information out in alternative routes for those upcoming planned closures. For the unplanned closures like on Route 12, that was a head-on collision with fatality. We'll take another look on. We do have a traffic management team that decides which CMSs, based on some protocol, are included in this message as possible traffic heading towards that area. And I hear your question regarding 680 versus Route 12 near Rio Vista. But because the whole route was closed for, it turned out to be 6 hours, I think they made a decision on the importance of it. But we need to take another look on which CMSs and how far from the accident location we handle. We do have 80 incidents on average a day and 60 lane closures planned for construction on average a day in the Bay Area working day. So there is a protocol, and we'll double check that, particularly in regards to how far from the instance we load up the messages on the CMS. And then we do have some standard wording on the CMS, so let me double check what was done in that particular instance on 680 and how that went back to, you know, our standard protocol for wording. But we do have focused traffic engineers that work in the Traffic Management Center and work with those CMSs. I do want to highlight, too, overall, with the redundancies in the system, even with a percentage of these items down, we have been very accurate. I think 511 reflects using other data to be sure that the information that we release to drivers keeps them informed so they can make individual decisions on where and when they need to use the roads. So there's still a high level of confidence in the accuracy of the travel times and the accuracy of the information used. Upgrading the system and maintainability of the system will continue to improve that redundancy and that accuracy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for that response. Commissioner Bates and then Commissioner
Hall. Yeah, very, very briefly, you sort of answered my concerns. What I'm interested in doing is trying to figure out how we can leapfrog over the current problems and project more towards the future, because it seems to me that there's going to be all this new technology, the GPSs in the cars, the GPS information, you know, these giving people little things to carry around with them so we know where they go. I mean, it seems like there's going to be some things that are going to be developed that we haven't even thought of today. And the question is there any place in the world that is doing a better job in Great Britain or in the Netherlands and places like that? Is there any place that we know from example, and then try to figure out how we can go, not just keep this system working, but leapfrog to the next technology?
Okay, thank you very much. Commissioner Halstead?
Just briefly, I didn't want my silence to be read as lack of interest in this. I think it's a terribly important thing, and I think information drives action at many levels, and I think our staff is actually very capable of adding to this the solutions here. I think that this committee should continue or should take a more active role, and we'll support whatever action our chair and our other chair decide we want to take, but I think we should be actively involved in getting better information, particularly for emergencies and for all the things that happen in our lives that drive our decisions about which way to go. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you all commissioners for your participation in this discussion. Thank you, Dan, for being here from Caltrans. Particularly thank you, Melanie, to you and your staff. I know that Vice Chair Mullen and I were well briefed before we came down here, and thank you, Executive Director Heminger, for your responses. And Madam Chair and committee members, if I might suggest that our commission chair and myself meet with staff and suggest an ad hoc committee from Operations Committee to be involved in this ongoing process. Clearly, staff has been working already, as I said, to start and train a process whereby Caltrans and the Highway Patrol and ourselves get involved. The urgency has been clearly stated by all of you, and so I am glad that we had this discussion, but I know that we have another committee waiting to meet after this one, and we have one a very brief item, and staff will have noticed the phrase very brief item under agenda item number 4. So thank you very much for this discussion and this agenda item. Thank you all.
Commissioners.
Okay, that brings us to agenda item number 4, procurement for FY 2014 FSP contracts, an information item. We do have a staff report, and I'm sorry to put the pressure on you to be brief, but I think the occasion demands it. Thank you.
No, that's fine. I'll be very brief. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Stephanie Powell from the Freeway Service Patrol Program. I just came to this committee to let you know that we are releasing a request for qualifications in bid invitation at the end of this month. Sorry. Can you guys hear me now? So at the end of this month, we plan on releasing a request for qualifications and bid invitation. And what this RFQBI seeks to do is find tow contractors to fill about approximately half of our FSP beats. The resulting four-year contracts will be brought back to this committee for approval in January. And there's further detail in your memo, but I'll be happy to answer any of your questions you may have at this moment.
Anybody have any questions at this time? I see here none, so thank you for being very brief. Much appreciated. And I believe that brings us to the end of our activities. I have no cards. Is there any other business? We're adjourned until October the 12th at 10:30 a.m. Thank you very much.